like to call to order the meeting of the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District for November 25th. Keith, the invocation, please.
Heavenly Father, am I on? Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't hear. Heavenly Father, we come to you asking for guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Guide us as we make decisions that will affect the residents, staff, and their family. We pray for the health and the well-being of residents and employees of this community and their family and friends, whether here, at home, or traveling. We ask that you will watch over and guide the nation and bless it and bring it peace we all desire. Guide our elected officials to use wisdom in their decision-making. Also protect our military and first responders. Bring them home safe and unharmed to their family and friends. Use your grace to heal the sick and the suffering. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all. I'll ask Joanne to do roll call, please.
Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Eloise Raffo.
Here.
Michael Hamm, absent. Joanne Gagans, here. Keith Richer.
Here.
Barbara Whitnick.
Here.
Gaston Pelletier.
Here.
Joe Prisco.
Here.
And the record will reflect that Shane Morris. Hello? The record will reflect that district manager Cherie Morris is also present.
Under chairman's announcement, we have the installation of a new board member, Terry Steimer. Terry, would you step to that mic? And Joanne will take you through the oath.
Hello.
Okay. All right. Raise your right hand. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Protect.
Protect.
And defend.
And defend.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
And government of the United States.
And government of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified.
That I am duly qualified.
To hold office.
To hold office.
Under the Constitution of the state.
Under the Constitution of the state.
And that I will well.
And that I will well.
And faithfully.
And faithfully.
Perform the duties of.
Perform the duties of.
Trustee of the Board of Trustees.
Trustee of the Board of Trustees.
Of the Port Malabar Holiday Park.
Of the Port Malabar Holiday Park.
Mobile Home Park Recreation District.
Mobile Home Park Recreation District.
On which I am now about to enter.
Of which I am now about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Have a seat.
Okay.
There was some question about Terry coming in at this point. He is presently fulfilling Paul Diamond's term. Terry was elected in November to his own position, which he will assume in January. And in the meantime, then, we will be looking to fulfill Paul's seat again in January, since he has terminated from the board. But that is a question of explanation that was asked, and that's what we know at this point, okay? Any questions about that? All right, look for a motion to accept the minutes of 11-11-2019.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes from 11-11-19.
Second.
Okay, We have a motion and a second. Any discussion from the board members? Any discussion from residents?
Meredith Prisco, 1256 Shell Court. I was not present at the last meeting, but you accepted a bid from a firm, and what I was wondering, where is this firm located?
What page are you on?
I'm on the minutes.
The
you had a quote
firm.
From Supply Shea, Kramer, and Rockland, PA. They're that firm that is used by our sister park. So my question is, where are they located?
Sarasota.
Okay, so they're more than 3 hours from here. So it's going to take them some time to get here. What I also did, I called our sister park because this is their...
Excuse me, we're just taking motion on corrections of the minutes, not...
Yes, but why wouldn't that be a correction to the minutes? I mean, you hired the firm, but the firm is actually 3 hours from where we live.
You want to add where they're located?
Yes, because I think that's very important. It has to do with what the cost of them are. It raises their cost because they're so far away. That's all. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or discussion?
I do. I just want to add that with researching the auditing firm, it's not unusual. They do mostly special district properties. That's what their forte is. And the price that they gave us includes all travel time, all conversation per via phone, email, text, everything. So that's an all-inclusive price. So he's not going to get there. The company won't get one red cent from us other than what they've put in their contract. So it is written down. And again, they specialize in special districts.
Just as we are approving the minutes, are we putting something new in the minutes or not?
No.
Okay, then.
No.
We can save that till late. I don't know. She wanted the location.
Well, she asked that the location of the firm be added, which we can do.
Okay.
So all you do is just amend your...
I amend the minutes to add the location of the new firm.
Second.
I just have a... Hello. Okay. I just had a comment. We had two bids for the audit. You didn't have three bids. So is that something new that we're doing, or do we have to have three bids? That's the question. You had two bids. I wasn't here at the meeting. I would have said something once I saw the two bids. Your third thing was just your former accounting firm turning you down. That wasn't a bid. So I'm just saying, is how are we going to do this in the future? Are we going to are we required to do three bids or not?
I'll take responsibility for that, Joe. I considered that a third bid because if they had agreed to do our auditing again, they would have had the same fee, if not more. So I consider that to be a bid. I stand corrected.
Certainly not.
Excuse me. Again, we're just trying to agree to the minutes. This is a discussion we should have during some other time, or later in the minute.
We need to straighten it out, though. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay, I'll call the motion. All in favor of the amended motion, say aye.
Sorry.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Okay, motion carried.
Good evening.
morning, everyone. I'm sure, as everyone is aware, at this point, the library renovations are in full swing. The drywall has been hung and primed. The acoustic tiles, two rows of it, will be installed when the painting is finished, which is the painting has finally been finished. The bookshelves will line the back wall and the right side of the wall. There will be a small magazine rack on the door wall between the two doors. We did manage to scrape all of the film off of the three windows, so they will not have to be replaced. That's a savings of about $4,500. We will be installing a countertop facing the pool with easy accessible electrical outlets. There will be a storage space on either side at the end of the countertops. We're still researching that. We want to make sure that it's not going to be too much. It's not going to be too cost. It's going to be cost effective. So we may go straight countertop without the storage space. We're still researching that to see how much that's going to cost. The materials for the countertops will be the same as the windowsill. I haven't gotten a complete price on those yet, but those items will be submitted to the trustees. When these items are finished, we will have a clean palette to work with to determine where to put the furnishings, the puzzle tables, etc. All of the labor thus far has been done by volunteers and house staff. Bob and Marcia Shearer had spent all day Friday pricing and getting samples for the flooring, which it's already paid for, but for the countertop material and baseboard samples for the card and billiards room to present to the board. We will have more to report on as the work progresses. The street repair on Holiday Park Boulevard near the storage compound is almost complete. There is one line in the middle of the paved area which needs to be filled in. I'm not real happy with that, but they've been back twice. I've contacted the Palm Bay Fire Department to get a date as to when they'll be starting to paint the fire hydrants in the community. Hurry up and wait, and I will keep the board posted and updated. We will begin replacing the benches starting at the back pond. We will be replacing them two at a time. All of the removal and replacement will be done in-house. All of the electrical lighting, wiring, conduit, and junction boxes in the newly landscaped areas in the front of the clubhouse have all been replaced. All of this has been done in-house. Please remember the 2020 owner vehicle decals have arrived. We will start distributing these on Monday, December 2nd. However, if you feel you need to come up this week, there's only 2 days left that the office will be open. We do have them, and we will start early. I thought about dividing the park into sections. However, I have some volunteers that are going to be helping scraping the decals and making copies of the registrations. So Karen and Ron Foote, Bob and Marcia Shear, and they have a few other folks that are going to be joining them, which will help us administratively. So we want to make sure we input the correct information in FilePro and in your files so we have an accurate account of who lives here, who's coming in and out of the park at all times. So it's very important that we get these things accurate and in the files so the gatehouse can keep a good track of who's in and out of the park. The colors are a light reflective green with black numbers. So we're going to try to do it Monday through Friday from 9 to 3. Thursday from 10, I'll stay here till 6. Please be sure you have your current vehicle registrations. If you don't, you won't get a decal. You will get a temporary pass, and that will be weekly until you are able to get your current car registration, vehicle registration. As long as you have your current registration, this should be a breeze, and we should be in and out. And then come February, we will be doing the storage compound decals as well. Bruce Gilbert was hospitalized for observation last week for 2 days. He returned to work this Monday. And at this time, we will be discussing his work schedule. The gazebo continues to be a big challenge. We do not have a Florida engineer. We don't have drawings. We can send the gazebo back to Amish, where they will return ship for free, and give Holiday Park a 25% discount on another gazebo with Florida engineered drawings, or we can ship it back for a refund. We will pay approximately $1,000 in shipping and 25% for the restock fee, which is approximately $2,000. Rod Lindsay will have more of an explanation as he has been researching all options available. Please be respectful. Do not park on the grass. We do have the 48-hour rule. After that, you're in violation of our rules and regulations. This is also very difficult for the lawn service, as it's hard for them to mow around your vehicles. I have a footnote. I did get some more information in today that I did not add to my report. So Floors Direct is still holding the tile for the library floor. It's already paid for. However, we will have to pay for the installation. That will be under $1,000, but we will be getting a credit for the baseboard, as we'll be installing wood in the area where we were going to put in the baseboard, because it's zero traffic and it won't get all scuffed up. I'm requesting a $5,000 budget to complete the wainscoting, the chair rails, 6 pieces of molding to go around the 2 existing doors, paint for these existing bookshelves, insulation and acoustic tile to finish off the ceiling, wood for the molding around the windows, wood for the baseboard, plus miscellaneous liquid nails, screws, drywall, mud, etc. All of the labor so far has been in-house, saving the community literally thousands and thousands of dollars. More funding may be required for the countertop, windowsills, window treatments, and possible door replacements. I will have pricing for these remaining items to present to the trustees at the next board meeting. We will again be doing most of the labor in-house. And I want to just say a special thanks to Bob Shearer and Roger Fernetta for their labor, for their knowledge, and their time. Just this, their experience has been overwhelming. And I'm telling you, just the construction, the craftsmanship has been amazing. And also for our staff, literally thousands and thousands of dollars. So I apologize that it's taken us a little bit longer, but in the long run, we're going to have quality, and we're going to do it very economically. So I will keep you guys posted on the countertops, and that will be the last of it. We should be able to open the library before the countertops are installed. Most of the bulk work has been done, the painting, the drywalling. Next is painting the bookshelves, putting them up against the wall, and then the flooring, of course. And that's free. So we may have to pay an installer, because that's a really nice tile. But we're going to try to do it as quickly as possible. Okay, thank you, and everybody, for me, I know the meeting is going on, but happy Thanksgiving.
Any comments from the board?
I have one. I don't need your service.
Hey, hello? It's not working. Can you hear me?
Watch this.
As far as parking on the lawn, you don't park on the lawn, period. Because I go around with the U.S. lawns, and people are parking on the lawn. You don't have a 48 hours. You're not supposed to park on the lawn, period. The 48 hours is just a courtesy. If you continue to park on the lawn, you don't have 48 hours to get the car. That means I could park on the lawn every day. I got 48 hours. Isn't that correct?
That's what it says in our rules.
Well, they need to change the rules then, because then they can park on the lawns.
I'm just going by what the rules and regs say. Do I agree with it? No.
Yeah, you can't park. Well, then we need to change that rule. You can't park on the lawn, period. There's no parking on the lawns, period. So we'll change the rule. We'll have to put it in our meeting. Oh, do you have a comment? They park on the lawns. Yeah, this is not working. Sorry.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. If you read the things carefully, you will see there is no parking on the lawn with your cars.
Okay.
You are allowed to park a motorhome or a trailer for 48 hours for loading and unloading. It's very specific, very okay. spelled out.
All right, well, there you go.
I'll go
right
get
there.
A look.
I'm saying there it is, right there. No parking on the lawn, no vehicles.
It's
period.
Easy. I'm going to go get the book.
That's that.
Any other comments?
Connie Quisley, 155 Holiday Park. My comments about the decals, according to the minutes of January 29th of this year, Cherie's report said two decals per household. In the book that we have, it also says two decals per household. Now, I know there's one on my street. There's three vehicles on there, so there must be three decals. They're there all the time. It's at 142 Holiday Park. You check it out. Two red ones and a black one. I also know that down at the other end, there's another one that has three decals. So is somebody going to check up on that?
If you have those addresses given to
I don't have the other one. I can get it.
Yeah, just to let her check on it.
Okay, that's my complaint. Thank you very much.
I can answer that, Connie. If they have three decals at the end of December, they will not get in the park, okay? The decals will be scraped off their windshield. And when they come up to register, they will only be allowed to have two.
Okay.
What happened 2 years ago, I don't know. Last year, I had several that had three cars with three decals, three deep, parked everywhere, all over the park. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to avoid that this year.
Okay, because I know the sister is living there. She's there all the time. So it's the two owners and the sister, and that's...
No, and I just want to
make... It's not fair.
No, it isn't. And I just want to make another thing clear. If you're a caregiver or you have a caregiver, they do not get a decal, all right? They get a pass, and they have to renew their pass. And being a caregiver means that you get a document from your doctor stating that you need the caregiver, but they are not given a decal for their vehicle.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah. Cherie, just before it's posted, I would just ask you to check on the spelling of several people that you mentioned.
I made the change.
There's another one on your last page, your footnote. You made Roger Italian.
Oh, I know that. I know. We didn't know his last name, and I didn't know even how to look at it. I know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, just drop
like
the A.
This was like the last minute, so it didn't. It hasn't been posted on the internet or on our website yet. So this was just a quick last minute blurb that I had to share with everybody. So I spelled something wrong. Before it's posted, I will correct it. Oh, I want to mention one other thing before we get going here with the rest of the meeting. I had a gentleman stop in this afternoon, right around closing time. This was quite interesting. He represented David Moalem. His name was Vahid, Rajabian. Okay? And he came in and he asked me if we would be interested in purchasing a lot, a vacant lot. Actually, it's 1232 Willow Court. And I said, really? I played stupid. And I said, so you're selling it? He says, I'm here representing the owner. I said, and who is this owner? And he says, David Moalem. And I said, are you a realtor? No. I said, are you an investor? No, we're the owner. I said, okay, well, you want to sell the lot to us? He says, yes, we'll take $5,000. So I looked at him and I said, okay, what part of stupid do I look like? So I turned around, I looked at Lori, and I shook my head. Boom, she went on the computer, and lo and behold, they're behind $29,302.18 in back taxes.
Technical.
Okay, he came to me with this year's current tax roll, which said, of course, the 2000 and so forth. So I just said, well, who do you think is going to buy this? You know, I continue to play dumb, but I just wanted to share this with you. I don't know if it's a tax certificate property, but it is a vacant lot. So I don't even know how he got into the park. You know, maybe he's still on the owner list, but this is something that I will be researching. I just thought I'd share that.
One more question. Cherie, is Bob Scheer going to give a little report on the library a little later today?
I would like it if he would.
Not now. I just was wondering
otherwise under,
I'd ask you
under
the question.
Comments. That would be great.
Okay, I'll wait.
Thank
then.
You.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I believe that was the house that I showed you, the lot that there was no house ever built on. I talked with this gentleman when I was working in the office with Allison way back a year and a half ago, and she asked me if I would call him. He didn't want to deal with anybody. He owns 4,000 properties. He wanted
so
to,
they say.
At that time, he wanted to give us the property for free. And I said, no, I don't think so, because all that money is owed in it, number one. Number two, they wanted a $14,000 impact fee to put a meter on there. There's no water meter on that property.
And that's why there's no lien on it from the city of Palm Bay.
That's exactly right.
There's no water on it.
That's exactly right. So anyways, at this point, we're better to leave it alone like it's been left alone for 50 years. I don't even know if you can put a house on that thing if the lot's too small. But the point of it is, they keep selling tax certificates
on
it. Well,
Bruce, he'll sell it to you for $5,000.
What's that?
He'll sell it to you for $5,000.
No, he was going to give it to us for free. Anyways,
why do you want
we're
it?
Better to have a tax certificate on it because we get money out of it then.
Any other comments?
From the trustees?
Anybody?
Oh, yeah, well, in Cherie's footnotes, it's been a long day. She's requesting up to $5,000 to budget for the, well, it's part of the renovation of the library. So do we have to make a motion for that?
I have put that under B for new business.
Okay.
So that we don't.
Okay, so we'll just deal.
Will that come with maybe Bob Scheer's report a little bit? Will that come with Bob Scheer's report on the library?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll make a motion to accept the district manager's report and footnote with corrections. That's it. That's my motion.
I second.
Any comments from anybody? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor of accepting the district manager's report with corrections, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign.
Does that include the $5,000? The $5,000?
No.
It's just okay. That's the request, but we haven't voted on it.
Okay.
Okay, under old business, we have one item that's been carried over a time or two, and that has to do with the job description.
I'd like to make a comment first. I know it was said that I redid this. I didn't redo it, except for making corrections to grammar and punctuation, etc. There's only one paragraph that I rewrote, as we were all requested to do, if there were any changes that we wanted to see made. I made my change. I don't know if others made theirs. But really, this is pretty much as it was reviewed by Mr. Pelletier, except for, some grammar and that one paragraph that I changed the way I would like to see it, but that's what you have to vote on and discuss, which I think we're going to do tonight.
Correct. Looking for a motion.
Well,
no, we waiting for a motion to adopt the proposed district manager's job description. Is there a second?
I'll second for discussion.
Okay. Discussion from the trustees.
Yes. I have a question about the paragraph that Joanne worked on.
What? Which one?
The attendance paragraph.
Attendance.
It specifies the manager is expected to advise the chairman of the board when deviating from a scheduled 8-to-4 workday. Now, does Jack really want to get called at 6 o'clock in the morning when somebody calls in sick? Or does he really want to be bothered every time somebody can't give an estimate until their workday is finished at 5 o'clock? I mean, I think that's unrealistic.
This is only the district managers, not everybody.
Excuse me?
I said this is the district managers.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
You think it's unrealistic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. That's what we have to discuss.
I think that's unrealistic. I think it really is unrealistic to expect Jack or whoever is chairman, or if they designate anybody else, to be notified every time there's a deviation from this 8-to-4 scheduled absolute work hours.
Okay, deviating to me is not calling in sick.
Well, if someone, that's not what I said, Joanne. I said, if someone calls in sick and this place is not covered, the manager normally comes in early to cover for that person if it's necessary. If we need an estimate on a pool repair, a roof repair, and we have a contractor who can't get here till after his workday is done to look and do that estimate, that's the manager's job to stay. I think it's unrealistic to expect that 8-to-4 to be so strictly adhered to.
Okay.
Do you have a alternate suggestion there?
I think it's enough that we specify, it's specified above there that the manager is expected to work a 40-hour week.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's necessary for the manager to advise somebody every time she has to deviate from that schedule. I mean, I just don't. I don't think that last sentence is necessary. To request personal and vacation time, absolutely, to be scheduled in advance. But to deviate from an 8-to-4 schedule, no, you cannot expect that from a management position. It's just unrealistic.
So are you saying keeping the 40 hours, just taking off the time?
Mm-hmm. Keep the 40 hours. Keep the end of that sentence that says the manager is expected to advise the chairman of the board when requesting personal or vacation time. Get rid of that 8-to-4.
So that's your...
That's my suggestion.
Suggestion, amendments there. Since we're in this paragraph, I think the second sentence, attendance at board meetings, is redundant since we had that 2 pages earlier. Mm-hmm. And the next one about vacation, sick, and personal time is detailed in district's personnel manual.
Well, good, then we can get rid of that whole last sentence.
Well, you know, excuse me, it's kind of rough. She gets called in 9, 10 o'clock at night. Is she going to have to hunt for somebody to tell them that she's going to be here?
Yeah, well, that's...
No.
You know, that's silly.
That's an emergency. I think you're overlooking the word that says scheduled. Scheduled absence, that's where it is.
Well, that's absence.
No, nobody knows that necessarily that they're going to be sick tomorrow morning. So I would be getting info after the fact on that situation. Okay.
Just a reminder, too, that any new board that comes on can make changes to these documents that we're discussing right now. So the next board or whoever is sitting here can toss this whole thing out and come up with three paragraphs, which would be nice.
Well, on behalf of the description, I can honestly say I don't work 8 to 4. A couple times a week at least, I'm in here at 7. Fridays, I don't leave here till 6. I can't tell you that I have this 8 to 4 schedule. I probably never work less than 8 hours a day unless I have a doctor's appointment or something, and then I'm always making up the time. So I can assure you that I'm not abusing the time, and I just want you to know that that might be a good guideline. However, it's very difficult, as Eloise said, if I have to be here early to meet a contractor, or with the decal thing going on, I'm going to stay later so that we can do more admin things. Thursdays I'll be here till 6, so it's very difficult to keep that 8 to 4 stringent. I just wanted to add that.
Okay, as one person listening to this, it seems we agree on first sentence in the attendance section, mm-hmm. And then we delete the next two and skip down to the manager is expected to advise the chairman of the board when requesting personal and vacation time or any scheduled absence. Yep. So that would be the substance of what is left there if we accept these changes.
Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion.
You'll make the motion, okay. Mm-hmm. It's been moved. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
I have to just think about something. It also says vacation, sick, and personal time is detailed in the district's personnel manual. However, with the district managers in the past, we've had contracts that they actually signed, and in lieu of the contract, they've been signing what we call an acceptance letter. The acceptance letter details their the time off, the sick leave, the personal days, the vacation days, etc. It is not accumulated the way it's detailed in the district personnel manual. That was written for non-salaried employees, or in other words, by the hour employees. So I think that I don't know how you want to put that, because again, next board, next manager may come in, they may want a contract, maybe they may want nothing. I don't know. I know this manager has as the past couple of managers have had acceptance letters. The last contract we had was when we had Cheryl Ennis here. That was the last contract that was ever signed.
Any other discussion? Okay. I'll call.
Discussion for us on the board. Them on the board.
Could we?
Yes, if you have a comment to make before we move on the amended.
And then I'm going to ask that we read that paragraph so we have it correct. I want to read it. I want to read it out loud.
Bob Shear, 382 Holiday Park. I think along the lines of what Joanne is asking for, isn't all the worst thing, and please don't get mad at me, Cherie, because I think this helps protect the board in one sense. I don't think you need to call Jack at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, I'm going to be sick, okay, or something going on. But an occasional email, okay, because I can tell you how this people of this park work. They come in, they don't see the manager there, okay? They're going to want to go to one of you guys and say, where is Cherie? And if you don't know, they're going to pick on you, okay? So it's kind of like just a thing that if she says, I got to leave here today at 1 o'clock because I got a doctor's appointment or whatever, if she just sends Jack a quick email that says, hey, I'm going to be out of there for 4 hours, he kind of knows what's going on. I think that's part of management of any business. Okay, I don't think we're trying to put a ruler to her and stick it to her that she's got to say, I'm here 8 to 4. You understand something? But there's days for, I'm going to say that 8 to 4 because unless they've changed it, and I've seen her here all day today, a couple of district managers ago, we changed the rule that said that the manager didn't have to be until noon, 1 o'clock on the days of the meeting because they worked noon to 9 and they got their 8 hours in. Shake your head, but that's what they voted on, okay, about two district managers ago. They did not have to come in the mornings. So there's 2 days out of your month. So I think you're just looking for a general overall view of what this manager does. And if there's going to be an emergency or something come up and I leave or whatever, you've got to figure out a way to cover that. And it's only going to protect you guys from having to take a lot of grief.
Thanks, Bob. I would say already that I'm being notified as it relates to this particular statement here. If Cherie is going to be gone, or like she said, and I don't know if this is still on her agenda for November 27th, but she has a jury summons, those kind of things, you know, that are coming. She has alerted the whole board to that, as well as the people who were in attendance at the last meeting. So I don't think there's any problem of communication and knowing what's going on. I think it's there. Okay, board, are we ready to vote on the amendment? And the secretary said, let's read it again.
All right, I think it should, as it's changed. The district manager is a salaried employee and as such is expected to work a 40-hour work week and be on call for all emergencies. Vacation, sick, and personal time is detailed in the manager's letter of acceptance. The manager is expected to advise the chairman of the board when requesting personal and vacation time or any scheduled absence.
Okay, any question? I'll call the motion. All in favor of aye? All in favor of aye, yes. All in favor say aye.
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 Oh, sorry. Who made the motion?
I thought Eloise did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
I seconded it.
Yes, Barb seconded it.
I think I was asleep. Okay.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, like sign? Carried. Now let's take the whole document as such. Waiting on a motion to accept the whole job description.
I make a motion that we accept the district manager's job description as corrected.
Second.
Or as changed.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any comments from board people, first of all? Any comments from the residents?
Allison Kelly, 1054 Sunflower. Does everybody on this board have or have read Cherie's offer letter to be sure that what is required regarding her time off and sick time is in that letter?
The acceptance letter?
The acceptance. Has everybody on this board seen that before they vote on it? That's my question.
Well, certainly I have.
Okay. Well, understandably. Because I think you should have that in front of you. If you're making a motion and you're discussing items in her offer letter, to be sure of the clarification, to be sure it's in there.
I thought I had it in my picture. I have a copy, but. Not with me. It's a very short acceptance letter. If Cherie, if you want to get it, we could just. I think you want to hear the what was written as far as the benefits. Is that what Allison? Is that what you? The letter of acceptance. Right, right. You want to hear? It's very short. I mean, what her. I know. I'm saying that's what you want to hear. What was in that. Amongst the missing.
I don't know. Could only carry so much, right?
It's your offer letter. I have seen it. I wasn't here.
Just, I took a bunch of papers out.
You were here.
Well, Allison's point was that we should know exactly what that letter of acceptance said, since we're voting on that one paragraph that's saying it's what would be put in. And again, every board has the right to change it. Every board's letter of acceptance is going to be different. But we're voting on it right now. So I can see her point where it should be made clear what was written in that acceptance letter. If anybody would like to hum along, I don't know. Sing a song.
This was invitation detailed in the district's letter to.
One, two, three. I think six of us here in the pilot. So we knew.
Can't hear me talk though.
Because
nothing.
I have a step at heart. Just listen. I know that one. He's watching. Come on, talk to us for a while, please. Keep us busy. Yeah, thank you. She
says it. Jack. Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. We've had a manager here for a year and a half already. I don't really see what it has to do with this document that you're even working on. And like Joanne said, the next board can change it in a month if they want to. It really doesn't matter. If you're dissatisfied with the manager, you can fire her tomorrow. Has nothing to do with anything.
Thank you.
All right, even part of this is now null and void because we don't have the health benefits. Okay. Well, no, actually, not center.
We're not even talking about
The acceptance letter. The part that they think they're concerned with is after a satisfactory 90-day probationary period, the following benefits will apply. Health insurance benefits will be provided with 60% paid by the employer and 40% by the employee we know that's gone. 5 sick days per year, 2 personal days per year, 7 paid holidays, and as well as the day before Thanksgiving and the day after Christmas. So it's 9 vacation days, paid holidays. Paid educational classes benefiting the Holiday Park community. Vacation, 2 weeks, years 1 through 5. 1 week may be taken after 6 months. 3 weeks, years 6 through 10. 4 weeks thereafter. Neither overtime nor travel pay is offered.
Okay, are we ready for the question? Yes. All in favor of the district manager's job description as amended and proposed, say aye.
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 Opposed, like sign. Motion carried. Next, we're moving on to new business.
Excuse me. Did they want to talk about the voting on the bookkeeper or the? Did you want to comment on the bid we took in last time? This would be, isn't this what you were? That would be old business, wouldn't it? You wanted to talk about where the auditor was coming from and this and that. Did you want to question? I mean, I cut you off before because we were just trying to get the minutes.
No, if anyone has any questions, I'll be certainly happy to answer them.
It's old business that we vote on, and I'd kind of cut you off because I said we'd discuss it later, and I just want to remind you, to me, this is the place, and I'm just asking Jack if someone.
For me, I wanted to know if she felt she had 3 bids, but you only had 2 in reality. So my question is, how are we going to go forward? Are we going to go forward with, if we can't get 3 bids, are we going to go with 2?
Well, the thing is, last year's bid came down $2,000 from the best thing you could get before. And this year we talked to a couple of people, and the one we had before was basically going to be about the same, but anything else we got was up 20,000.
Yeah, I saw that, but the one we had before declined.
Yeah, I know.
That's not a bid, though. Yeah. You can't call that a bid.
Okay.
That's what I used to do. A bid.
But I guess I told Sheree, well, let's go with it, because I wasn't here last week. But anyway, the thing is, this is cheaper than we've had in the last 5 years, and we have an experienced person that's coming over to do it, and I think with what we've been talking about a little bit, it may even, I'm hoping, with some changes in our stuff, we can even get it a little cheaper maybe. So that's why I said let's go ahead with it, because I want this audit done before December, and these audit companies are, once December hits and all the big companies come in, it's hard to get them. And so if we can get them working on it right away, that's why I wanted to bid on last week or pass last week, so I can get them started so we can get our audit done and out of the way, and we can get on with the budget.
Right, I know that.
And I think it's different with an auditing firm as opposed to a law firm. A law firm, you're constantly in contact. They're charging you per phone call, per email, per text. This auditing firm is a flat rate. That's it. It includes everything: his travel time, his introduction, his phone calls, as I had mentioned earlier. So there's no other fees. There's no other hidden anything. There's no agendas. That's his travel time. That's his gas. That's his mileage. That's it. And that's what they specialize is special districts. So that's why I thought it was. I thought it was a great deal, as well as getting, you know, the other bid, which was quite a bit more, and they didn't even specialize in special districts.
Do we have the ability to make an exception?
Well, that's what I'm asking. And so we can go with two bids and not three bids from that one? Or what are you saying? The way it was is three bids. We have, whatever we're going to have done, it's going to cost $28,000. Now, you got this guy with one bid, and you don't have any other bids, let's say. So now we can go with one bid, or we got to have three bids. That's simple.
I make a motion that we accept this bid with just two.
All right, we should do that then. That's what I would have done if I was here at the meeting. I would say, and she would have explained it like she did. I did look at it. I looked at the other one. These guys are $50 difference between our last accounting firm. They were $13,850. This guy's $13,900. So he probably looked at the, looked at it, what a good businessman would do, and he bid $13,900. I think that's fair. But I think we should vote on only going on two and not ignore
so
that you didn't have,
you
didn't have three. You had two.
So what? All right.
Did we approve that?
We did.
Yes.
So you can't. That's what I'm saying.
All we need to do is make a motion that we allow for two bids to the
city. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can. That right there.
Second.
Okay.
Moved and seconded that we pursue this with only the two bids. So that would be to answer Terry an exception. On this
an exception.
Yes.
An exception.
I'll be happy to get another bid if y'all want to do that.
No,
just going to hold
it
up for another 2 weeks. I can get you another five bids.
It's late.
That's
in the
not
year.
The problem.
No.
You got to get the audit
I
started.
Think in terms
no,
of what Keith has said, we should not dilly-dally around and proceed. I'll call the motion. All in favor of supporting going.
Before we go.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Just Google it up.
Google it up, guys.
Exactly.
Bob Shear, 382 Holiday Park. When I Googled it up, it says the law was three, but it's been changed to only two, and that really surprised me.
Oh, it changed.
So it changed to only requiring two bids.
Okay, so we're legal.
So, but I think Bob made a statement. You probably have to amend your own bylaws then to say that you only go to two instead of three
right.
in the future.
Right.
Okay.
Get to that.
All right, call the question. All in favor of moving forward with the two bids, accepting the one, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Okay. Now under new business, we have
Jack, sorry. Before we go to new business, I'm just curious as to the gazebo, is Rod ready? Has he does Rod have information for us, or do we want to go to new business? Because that would be under old business.
He's not here, is he? Is he gonna say something?
I would assume that if he was ready, it would have been known by Cherie for the agenda preparation.
Okay.
Okay.
Just asking.
So it's still, yeah.
Rod, do you want to talk about it? Business. I want to talk about it now. It's old business.
Let's do it now under old business.
Well, just stay there then.
Rod Lindsay, 1291 Joy Court. The gazebo, as many of you know, has been a long project working here in the park. The original one there was damaged through age and through a hurricane and was sought to destroy it, which we did because it was considered unsafe. Well, along some time there, we were thinking about trying to get one put in to replace it, and the word came down that, no, that's not our land, so we can't very well put one on it. And while Allison was on the board of directors or at the president, somehow through her work, she found out that property actually is our property there where the gazebo was setting. So then we proceeded, HPPOA, along with this group here, was working on trying to put something in that area, and I kind of picked up on it. I was a member of the board at the time. I picked up and started working on it. That was about 2.5 to 3 years ago that this all started, right after the hurricanes. And we looked at the books. Barbara DeFault had got some books from a company in Pennsylvania where this kid out here is from, and as far as getting it on. The problem at that time was funding. We did not have the funding allocated or noted to replace that on it. So it needed to be put on before the board and come in. It went along because there was other projects that needed to be done, so it just kind of slipped. HPPOA agreed to come in. At that time, we thought it was going to be around $6,000. HPPOA committed to paying half of that, of the $3,000. And when we got ready to put this one in, after we ordered this one, we found out that on getting the permit, things have changed in Palm Bay as far as what their regulations are. They changed them in 2017. And any building that is going up has to have engineering plans, even though that is a kit which you and I could put in our backyard. We can put it up by ourselves. There's no problem with that. However, the county will not accept it, or the city will not accept that without an engineer's plans on it. Cherie looked at it. Basically, an engineer would probably cost us $3,000 to $4,000 because the company does not draw up plans for that particular kit. It's because it is a kit. So we've been working, trying to come away, we could work on that to go around it. We've been working back and forth with the company and with the city. I have been down to the city. She has been down to the city asking, well, what do we need to put that up? And they'll say, talk to your engineer. That's all they'll tell us. Go talk to an engineer. They won't give us any answers. So we've been working on it, trying to get it put up. Right now, we found out that we've got to have the plans. We've got to have the engineer plans to put it up. Cherie has worked with the company, and I have worked with the company in Pennsylvania. In addition to the one that is here, basically for a wash on price between the two, they will give us the larger one, which includes the cost of shipping that one back, and give us engineering plans, which come with the larger one. It's only a foot larger, but it does have engineering plans. Then we've got to get the permit from the county, and I still have one area on that I want to clear on it. But other than that, it's basically a wash between what we currently have allocated for funds against it. And I know there's some larger projects that people are working on here, but I'd like to see this project get wrapped up. It's been hung on for about 3 years right now. Any questions from the board?
Just to be clear, you're telling me, or telling the board here, that we can send this one back. They will give us another one with plans, and everything will be kind of a wash.
There's a little bit more cost, not much, but a little bit more cost, yes.
Under a thousand.
They're trying to help us out, is what they're trying.
Under a thousand.
Under $1,000
okay. Difference. I believe, was it not, Cherie? Let me look on the notes that I have. Yeah, because of the 25% discount and the $1,000 cost in shipping, which they're not going to charge us. So we would basically come out with on that. We've got a little bit of an added cost that we're going to have as far as putting it in and the place on the thing. I don't know how much of that we can do it. The county will allow us to do it, or whether we've got to have a certified contractor to put it up. That I don't know at this point.
But you're telling us we can get this gazebo in, permitted and everything, for maybe another $1,000 more
at
most.
Yes. Yep. We'll have it up and we clean the project up.
We needed to know. We just wanted to make sure we didn't need another whole approval on it.
No.
Under $1,000.
Yep. We still got the $3,000 coming. It's guaranteed by HPPOA.
Under $1,000.
And this was approved by the board about 3 years ago.
That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any questions from the audience?
Becky? Anybody who wants to speak, you know the drill.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. What about the depth of the cement? Is that going to be a problem? And do you know for sure?
From the county, and again, I went down to them and asked on what needs to be on the base. In answer to Becky's question, the plans that comes from the contractor that builds it says should be 4 inches, which we have underneath. It should have a 12-inch footing. They recommend a 12-inch footing on the outside, which we do not have. We would only have the 4 inches right now. My recommendation was that we dig down about 12 inches wide and put a 12-inch base in underneath of that so that it will, in fact, satisfy the county, assuming that is agreeable with what the county says. They won't give me any information on it.
Okay. Steve Ambrose, 241 Blossom. Might I make a suggestion that we get them to ship or mail down the plans, engineering drawings, before we get this gazebo shipped to us? Take the drawings, the engineering drawings, to the town hall and make sure they're going to approve what we're going to get shipped. That'll save us having to reship it back and reship it back. So just a suggestion that we get the engineering drawings mailed to us first and get that approved by Palm Bay.
I'm not sure where the company's position is on that, whether they would require us to put a down payment on engineering plans. The agreement that when working with the company was that when the new one came down, they would, the other one would go right back with it. So to allude to that extra additional cost on putting it in.
But it's worth asking.
Yes. Yep. We can ask. We'll check on it.
It can't be that expensive just to send the engineering plans down, can it?
If they'll let us have them.
I mean, if they'll release
them. Yeah, if they'll release them to us. That's the question. Okay. The company has been very good working with us. They have. They've tried to help us.
And,
yep.
They might do
so,
it.
Any other
That's
questions?
A good idea.
Please come to the mic.
Barbara Hoffman, 1021 Little Court. Due to the fact that the company knows that we are having a problem, plus the town, Palm Bay City, knows, I would endeavor to have the company fax over the plans to the city and let them look at it, and they might tell you whether or not it was going to be approved.
That's what they can,
as opposed to getting in, rather than getting it down here and have to go back.
Again, your proprietary rights on those plans is what may hold us back. I understand. We're trying to work it out so that we can get it done. That's the thing.
Okay. Thank you, Ross.
Okay.
Bob Shear, 382 Holiday Park. Rod, in other words, can I suggest one other thing? You should go out and maybe try to get a price on the concrete, because you're talking 70, 80, 90 linear feet of footers, and they're all going to need rebarred, and then they're all going to have to be keyed into the existing slab so that they don't work independently. So I would get a price on that to find out, before we spend all this, how much is the concrete alone going to cost us? Is an added cost.
Probably close to $300. And I think that's something we can do in-house if we can form it properly. You think, really? Seriously? Is that a permit thing we'd have to get? Okie dokie. Trying to do everything in-house.
Does that take care of the questions on the gazebo?
Rob, are you going to take some of those suggestions to see about? Okay, thank you.
We'll await another report. Okay.
Thank you very much for your work.
Now, under new business, there was a question whether or not we should dispose of our lawn equipment. I don't know if any board member wants to speak to this, to initiate, or wait for other comments.
Can I say a word?
Of course.
I really don't think we should get rid of this equipment until after we see what they do next spring. If everything works out next spring during our rainy season, then I say get rid of the equipment. But until then, let's keep it in working condition. it's better to do that than to have to go out and spend a couple of $100,000 to buy all new equipment if it doesn't work out.
My question to Cherie is, how much working equipment do we have?
No, there's only one machine down. The equipment all is working. We keep it maintained. Duane starts up everything every week. All the tires are kept so that they're, he keeps them full of air so they don't dry rot. We try to, you know, keep everything lubed and the best that we can so it doesn't just stay dormant. If anyone has any other suggestions, we'll more than gladly take them.
I would like to somehow have some type of inventory. We don't even know how much we're talking about.
I have machines of anything. Inventory.
So we, well, we, okay. Do you, I don't have one. Well, anyway, I just, we, I think we should know how many, what pieces of equipment we're talking about, how much they're worth, et cetera. But as long as they keep being maintained, we should not dispose of them right now. I don't think so.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Valerie Shanter, 152 Holiday Park. I live right next door to the lawn maintenance department. And for those of you that are not aware of how they start up every morning at, you know, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, whenever they get around to it, and are off every day, 5 days a week, waking you up, and then nobody knows where they are, when they're on a cigarette break, when they're on their phone, what they're doing. The whole thing about us running our own lawn maintenance service, I think it didn't work. I just got here last night at midnight. The park has never looked better. My driveway is literally edged for the first time in 9 years. I mean, literally. I just feel like we need to move on. This professional movement is where we need to go. We cannot babysit these guys. If you guys would watch them, like I live there, I watched how they come and go. They looked like they were, I don't know, homeless. They dressed so poorly. I was afraid of them. I mean, they put holes in my siding on my house. I had to go to Cherie, get it replaced. It was a really bad experience. I was so excited when I got here. I posted on Facebook, thank you all for coming together and hiring this outside lawn service so that we look like a professional community, someplace we can be proud to live in. The park looks great. The pool looks great. The banana trees that we paid $800 a piece for are alive. Every day I wanted to go feed them because I thought they were going to die. Finally, they look like they're alive. I just feel like we need to move forward, get rid of the lawn service because the lawn maintenance.
The lawn crew is gone.
No, I know, but we don't need the equipment. Why maintain it? We never need to do it ourselves again.
I'm going
to
tell you.
I live next door to them. I watch them. I've heard the stories.
Fine.
The drugs, the smoking, the abuse of pouring gasoline and sabotaging each other's vehicles. We don't need to babysit that kind of mafia. We need to be in control and have a professional company that babysits themselves. Thank you, and I appreciate you guys for let's moving forward.
Can I say a word? Okay. We've had professional lawn crews before. In the wintertime, it's been wonderful. In the summertime, during our wet season, we had to get rid of them because the lawns were in terrible shape. I'm just saying, let's hold on to this and see what they do during our rainy season. Yeah. Well, that's...
Yeah. Okay, Bob.
Bob Shirley's 190 Holiday Park. Well, I think it would behoove us to really get rid of all of the equipment right now. I think it's a little premature. We've only had this lawn crew in here for a couple of two, three, I'm not sure exactly how many months, and I'm so sure Sherry could attest to this, of how many complaints she got about this lawn crew that's in here right now. I'm hoping they make it, When I talk to them, I tell them, hey, listen, you guys forgot this or you guys forgot that. I try to talk to them to say, okay, come on, I want you guys to make it. And I really do. But right now, to get rid of all that equipment, that would be one of the most devastating things, because if this lawn crew wouldn't work out, and then we get another one, and then we get another one, and then we get another one, not unless you're willing to spend probably $100,000 more than we spent on the regular lawn crew to get a really, really, really good crew in here, because a really good crew costs you $400,000 to $500,000 a year. Right now we're paying less than $200,000, and I guarantee you, then you're going to have it done the way you want it if you want to spend the money. But if you want to go a little cheaper, that's exactly what you're going to get. This lawn crew that's in here right now, they've said it themselves. They've never done anything this big. They're still in the learning process. And I'm gonna do everything I can do to try to help them make it, because I want them to make it. I don't want to bring another lawn crew in here to try to train them. And I don't, in a way, I really don't want Sherry to have to worry about another lawn crew coming back. But if that's what has to happen to get a good lawn crew in here, that's what we should do. And if we have to do that and get rid of all equipment, do you know what it would take to put equipment up in that right now if we decided to sell all that, probably for a quarter of the price of what we paid for it, to rebuy all that stuff? You'd break this place. I'm going to tell you that right now. So my little thing is, right now, maintain it. Put it in storage a little bit, in where it's at, and keep it maintained. Put little ticklers on the batteries and stuff. Maintain that just in case we want to do it again. It's a backup. That's all I have to say.
Steve Ambrose, 241 Blossom. It was mentioned about inventory. 2 years ago, I went out and I did use my military experience on inventory control and did a complete inventory of all the equipment in the park. They have a copy of it on file on their computer. And I also did an inventory of all the belts, you name it, the equipment for that. If it needs to be updated, I'm here until April. I can go up there anytime and update the spreadsheet that I've given to the park. So if that's required, I'll help you out.
I will look you up. Thank you. And I do. And yes, thank you so much. We do have the inventory list and we've added to it. But if we can perfect it, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Bob Shearer, 382 Holiday Park. I don't think the discussion here was on the lawn crew. The discussion was on the equipment.
Thank you.
That equipment was around $11,000 to $12,000 per tractor that we bought, and we bought three, with the idea that they would only last 3 years because of using them 52 weeks a year, 5 days a week. So this would have been year four, and we never replaced one. And the concept was, go back through the minutes, that every third year, then we would buy one. I would suggest you go online and find out how much they're worth right now, okay, and get them while there's a value, possibly, sell them, put that money in escrow for if or when we might have to buy them, rather than go with equipment that's probably going to be outdated and worn when we go to actually use it.
Me again. Just one more comment. Valerie Chanter, 152 Holiday Park Boulevard. Like I said, I live right next door to those guys. Have any of you ever been in there and seen what that place looks like? Like, walked in, and the place is scary, okay? It was very scary. Well, that's okay, but I don't want to live beside that. So if you guys want to, you know, maintain a lawn maintenance service beside your house, then I understand that. But now that we've closed it down, I'm so excited. I don't ever want to see it open up again, because it was not pleasant while it was running all these years. So bottom line, the equipment, like he just mentioned, it's devaluating every day. It's not worth the money that, you know, we think that it is. It needs to be sold before it dies and move forward. Thank you.
Meredith Prisco, 1256 Shell Court. What I want to make clear, Bob Shortledge, when we were talking about what it would cost to have a really good lawn crew in here, I actually sat in my house and overheard 10 different lawn companies come in and give bids. And let me tell you, there was not one that came anywhere close to what you're saying. And that's a fact. And here's what I've also learned from a lot of the people that live in this park. I'm not saying most of them probably don't come to the meetings, but I would ride around with my husband as he went through lawn complaints. But by the way, they are much fewer now. I think our lawn crew is finally adapting and things are really getting better. It does take time to make it perfect. We do have smaller lawns. We have a lot of obstacles in some of these lawns. So you gotta give these guys credit for doing the best they can, and I think they improve every time. Now, what I heard for a complaint, and I'm not taking, please, Dwayne, do not take this personal. These people have said, rather than have a gardener, they would rather have their lawn crew come in and mow more often, or do this, or do that, for the money that is being spent on Dwayne. And I don't mean that as a derogatory to Dwayne. I'm just saying these are comments that people have made. Rather than have a, quote, gardener, they would rather have their lawn crew come and mow every week. I know we're out of rainy season, but we've had a lot more rain. So a lot of these people feel that instead of every 2 weeks, they would still like that extra week until we're definitely out of the rainy season, which is actually, it was October 15th. So that's my comments.
Rod Lindsay, 1291 Joy Court. I know we're talking about the equipment, not about the overall thing, because it's good and bad on both sides. I've almost got run over by one of the lawnmowers. I stepped out by the house just as she was coming by. And I tell you what, they need governors on those things to hold the speed down. Whatever you want to do, my suggestion is that equipment is sitting down there.
You're too far away. They can't hear you, Rod.
That equipment is sitting down there. It, for the most part, it's apparently in pretty good condition. As Steve said, we may need some belts and stuff. There's good and bad about this company that's in here right now. I have been here when, in the summertime, the crew evaporated, the outside crew, contract crew, that was mowing. Have you ever tried to pick up a crew, new crew down here in the middle of the season when there's nobody else around and you got your own equipment sitting there? You can get people, but you cannot get the crew. I would suggest that we hold on to the equipment at least through the summer, while this other one's here, or until the end of their contract, and I don't know when that expires, and take it at that time, make an evaluation whether we want to go ahead with them or whether we want to get rid of the equipment. Thank you.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I think the lawn crew is probably trying to do a very good job. I would recommend we hold on to the equipment. This is the third time we have hired a lawn crew. Yeah. This is the third time, folks. The other two times, it didn't work out. They, one of them left in the middle of the summer, and the other one we fired. That's my understanding. In difference to the lady that just spoke up here a minute ago, ma'am, you bought that place and knew that maintenance shed was there. I'm sorry. That maintenance shed's been, no? It's been there for 40 years. That maintenance shed has been there for at least 25 years that I know of that I've been in the park. Has not moved. It's been right there. And as far as Dwayne does a hell of a lot of the jobs other than planting flowers, because he is the only full-time person that we have doing other work outside, you know, like putting up the street signs and putting up the stop signs and painting lines and all these kind of things. He does many other jobs.
We're not, ma'am, we're not debating where you live or anything else. This is strictly on the lawn equipment. If you have a comment around lawn equipment, then make it.
I do have a comment about the lawn equipment. My parents used to own 30 pieces of heavy equipment. It always needs maintained. You know, whatever you're doing, you got to buy new, resell. These machines were not cutting our grass. My yard has never looked so good. They were old. The blades weren't sharp. I'm telling you, I have never seen my grass look so good in 9 years. So the machines need to be rotated out and sold and buy new. Yes, we need to move forward.
Okay. So much for discussion.
Can I just make one discussion before we do that? I would like, if before we decide whether to sell it or not, I would like to find out what we do have and what it's worth before we vote on just saying yes, equipment, no equipment. Can we get a copy of the inventory and what somebody evaluates? I'm just asking.
Cherie has a copy of the inventory.
I would suggest that the office print a copy for each board member and post a copy of it so that the residents can see, and then we can take action in December.
Okay.
That should give time to get an evaluation on the equipment and what it might be worth presently, so we're acting with some knowledge.
In addition to just an inventory, I think if you put a dollar sign next to it, what it's presently worth, because then you have to figure depreciation as time goes on, too.
That's what I'll have to do, is get the year of each piece of machinery.
Right.
And I already have the inventory, but I don't have the depreciation list. I did get the depreciation for that leaf blower, or the leaf sucker-upper, whatever the thing was, whatever, was useless.
Well, it's not going to be perfect anyway, if you can get us something close.
I can give you a roundabout figure. I mean, I have one in my head, but I'd rather have it written down and itemized for everybody to see some kind of comprehensive list.
I say we table this until December.
Keith, I wanted to just add one thing. Are we considering the pickup truck and the trailer in with the lawn equipment? What do we need the pickup truck for? What do we use it for? Do we use it? I know we used to use it. Do we need a pickup truck and a trailer for the pickup truck, a big trailer?
Well, we use it for mulching once a year. If we have to purchase any fencing or anything like that, there's always something unusual that pops up. I mean, we can lease these things, of course. But, yes, it does get used. We don't need all the trailers. I believe we have three. I think one is sufficient. One is registered. The others can go. But I think that's up for the board to decide once we get the inventory and the depreciation of everything.
I'm thinking that we could just rent a truck. If we really needed a pickup truck, why couldn't we rent it? You have a $10,000 truck sitting down there right now. It's worth about 10 grand.
If we just get an inventory of all the equipment with the prices on it, we can look at it.
Sure.
All
right.
Sure, trailers, truck,
in the truck,
leaf blower, everything.
Put it
sure.
Put it all in there.
You could just rent one. And Cherie, when you give us the inventory, you could also mark on there what you think you would like to keep in for other than the lawn. So, you know, like we're talking one trailer or something.
Yeah, I think we should keep one weed eater, one weed whacker, one blower.
You can write that up on there. You don't need to explain it now. You can write that
up. Okay.
So we have more information of what?
Will do.
I'll make a motion that we table the termination of the lawn equipment until we have an inventory and dollar figure.
I second.
Moved and seconded that we table this till we have an inventory and an estimate of worth. Any other questions? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Okay, the second item that we just added during the course of the meeting here was the library remodeling budget that was in the manager's report requesting $5,000, if I recall.
Yeah.
A budget of $5,000.
Can we get a report from Bob a little bit? Are we getting one from Cherie before we...
If Bob wouldn't mind, I think that would be appropriate.
I'm sorry, Bob. Oh, well, just elaborate on a
but
couple.
But this is a good one.
I guess I had a question. We're not putting the baseboard in, but we are putting some in, but the cabinets will be taking up some of those space walls and stuff. Some stuff we're giving back and we're getting.
We're not going to put the ceramic tile baseboard in there because we're going to beadboard two of the walls up with, I'm getting
Wainscoting.
That'll come up 32 inches off the floor. That's not a big price. I mean, you're talking $30 a sheet and it's like 13 pieces. We'll beadboard the whole thing, wainscot it. Then we'll put wood molding to match that rather than ceramic tile against the wood. And then we'll put a
chair rail
on the top of it. Thank you. The other two sides will be bookcases. We're going to cut those bookcases down and make them fit wall to wall. There'll be one for the puzzles. All the rest of them will be bookcases. And there, we don't need any molding behind them. Why would you put it behind them? Somebody takes it out 10 years down the road or five, I'm sure they'll want to put some molding in there. We're going to put a countertop that will go the whole width of that wall.
In front of the window.
In front of the windows. She wants to look at two cabinets, whether we do that or not, we'll see. And then we'll case the windows in with wood, put windowsills in it. That's pretty much the extent of what we're going to do. I think personally we'd probably struggle to pay $5,000. If you guys approve it and anything I spend, if you want to give me the rest of it, I'll take it. I could make a real fortune on that. So, I mean, $5,000 will probably even get the doors that one of these trustees wants to put in there, very special doors. We can do it upright. It'll be a nice job. There's going to be some work from these guys to do because I'm not a painter. So someone's going to have to paint or stain those bookcases, make them look nice again, bring them back. And we need to do something personally where we just eliminate the bottom two. And I would wainscot two shelves all the way around the whole thing when you're all done. And that's what you're going to come back and ask me, mark my word, in 6 weeks or whatever it is, and say, wainscot that because nobody gets down on the floor and gets those bottom two shelves.
I would just like to see us try to use it for some kind of storage where it looks good if we can. Right. You know.
Well, if the flooring crew told me they would be here next week. We have to remove everything out of the library. That's my only disadvantage.
We can't shift it?
Nope, they won't allow. They said you guys signed a contract and said that room would be 100% empty.
We don't have to use those people.
Okay, well, you're buying from them. I'm not sure what you're going to do, but we need to have that room empty. They said they would be here next week, and in 3-4 days, that will be done. So in 3-4 days, that's done. Then we go in, and we get the bookcases put back into place. So in reality, in two and a half weeks at the most, everything would be done with the exception of the, you guys got to decide exactly what you're going to do for, and I'll just tell you what I'm going to tell you right now. She didn't say it. We can get either granite or formica. And people are going to say, why would we get granite? Well, the formica is $1,200. It's post-form. Okay, so there's no sides on it. Those side walls are at angles. So when I get a post-form, you go by the smallest point. So at some point, I'm going to have big gaps.
Or you're going to have to put in some kind of weird filler.
Yeah, well, because it's post-form, you can't put a filler in. Okay, granite was going to cost you anywhere from $1,600 to a really nice piece of granite, around $2,000. And that will come, that's $800 more for granite. And then the nice thing about it, they'll give me a backsplash down the back and down both sides. It'll be a good-looking piece. Shelves for the thing, we need brackets. They're $11 a piece, very sturdy brackets. You probably need one every 2 feet, but They're at an angle. We're making it handicapped. I should tell you that. It'll go in at about 29 inches. Handicap is 28 to 34. So we'll go in at 29, 30 inches. We can put the backsplash. All of your receptacles then will be above the counters. And that'll kind of be nice. Nobody will have to get down on the floor and have to do something for a plug-in. And I would say whatever we put on the top, I'll make you three windowsills up out of the same material. That's going to be very classy, guys. It'll be a nice job. Those windows will look good when you're done.
Bob, real quick question. We're putting in the other bookshelves. They're not going to mess up the walls if we decide to upgrade bookshelves in a few years.
No, because whenever you pull out, you're going to put something back in. We already painted them up, so.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Do I have a question from out here? Oh, I got one.
Sherry Moore, Vista Court. Countertop product, solid surface?
No, I said granite.
But instead of granite, I mean, is that might be in between granite and linoleum, or is it?
Granite would be your second choice. Your next one would be
Corian,
and that begins to go up in price. Okay. So it's granite, Corian, and other man-made things, which have less imperfections in it.
Right. Well, that solid surface I had put in my house was a lot less than granite up in New York, so I don't know. Down here it might be different. Also, I might suggest these plugs that you're talking about putting in above the counter, maybe they can have a... What? A USB port?
Yeah.
Can't do it? Oh, I thought electric plugs could be changed to USBs.
Yeah, but I need the USB line to run behind it. You still have to be hardwired in.
Not for Wi-Fi, just for charging.
Oh, maybe.
For charging phones is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they might be able to have
not to have Wi-Fi. No.
We got adapters. We can put in adapters.
Yeah.
I would say that was an excellent idea, because if someone's going to be there for a few hours, they can plug their not only their thing in, but charge it up. It's a good idea. I think the concept is if you have it a plug, you're supplying your own power right there. So if they don't have a electrical plug, then they would use a USB port.
And I think what's nice about that is it's going to be an area where people can sit there who cannot get to the pool, who cannot go swimming, who want to sit, they want to get out of the house. They can sit there, they can enjoy the comfort of the library and have the view out of the windows along with, it's just practical. You'll see, it's going to be really nice.
Any other questions before I call the motion?
We need to make a motion, yeah, too.
I don't think they had a motion.
We have to make the motion,
yes.
Too.
Somebody needs to make one, right?
I make a motion that we allow the up to $5,000 to Cherie to have the library brought up.
For renovation.
For renovation.
I'll second that one.
Okay, moved and seconded. I don't know how we had all that discussion without a motion. Anyway, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, like sign. Okay. Moving down to number 11, public comment.
Has the board decided what they're doing with the second meeting in December?
It was canceled.
Canceled.
Okay, thank you.
The board meeting, the second one, the workshop meeting in December was canceled, so we only have the regular meeting on the 9th of December. Trustee comments.
I have two quick comments. One is, coming on the board, I had to resign from the Architectural Control Committee. So we made note, me and the other gentleman, that I would say something about the committee this meeting to let you know that we're kind of getting smaller and smaller. If there is someone willing to volunteer to be on the Architectural Control Committee, see Jim or Ron or Steve, I'm telling you, it's a great experience. There are some things that I learned and I was learning every time we had a meeting about construction and controls and those kinds of things. It's worth your while. Please give it a try. Second thing is that I'm gonna be partially responsible for managing your affairs. Maybe you should know something about me. So I'll give you a short soliloquy. That's it. I'll give you a short soliloquy. And that is, I'm Terry Steimer. I'm at 1280 Caber Court. My wife and I have been here for a little over a year. Been in Florida for a little over 3 years. My wife and I have been married. One of the things I wanted to remind you of is that I try not to lie. We've been married between 6 and 60 years. I don't know, maybe 16, something like that. I'm very much in love with my wife. I have 2 degrees. I have an associate's degree in marine technology, a bachelor's degree in marine biology, and I don't think either one of those degrees have anything to do with this operation. You know what I'm saying?
We're usually underwater anyway, so.
Okay. All right. I know something about ponds.
Good.
Nothing about the operation.
We just bought a boat.
I know something about boats. Okay, we're doing good. I'm plain speaking. I want to have a rapport with the residents as well as with the board. If there's any time you want to talk to me, since you all are residents, and we won't have to abide by the sunshine law, the dreaded sunshine law, be sure to talk to me anytime. I'll be glad to talk to you. Okay, if there's any questions, I'll be glad to take them. If there isn't, I'll see you the next meeting or around the house. Okay, thank you.
It looks like the next order of business is a motion to adjourn.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Trustee comments.
Yes. Thank you.
Any?
Just thank you for coming, everyone. And please, like he did request,
please don't
whether,
leave
whether
yet.
It's HPPOA or it's some board, be willing to step up and help out. Thank you.
Just a reminder that we're going to have one seat empty. So if anyone has any inclination to want to be a board member and you're a Florida resident, submit a letter of intent and have it brought to the office, and we'll get it to Jack.
Any other?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a dog, okay, and you walk him at night, please wear something white and take a flashlight. I almost hit somebody that was walking their dog in the road. I went to turn the corner, and there they were in the middle of the road. Please wear something light and take a flashlight. Thank you. Also, bicycles that have no lights. Thank you very much for coming.
Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll await a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, like sign.
Yeah.